Well, everyone, you have just heard three chapters of Revelation read today, and that is the method that John, the one who's received the revelation from Jesus Christ, would have used in preaching these words and bringing these words to the people who lived at his time. Now, some of these things that you heard today may be new to you. Some of them may be familiar. Some of them may be simply familiar because you know what a dragon is, or you know what a beast is. And certainly there's a lot of different video games that are around that draw from these images. There's a lot of graphic novels being written today. A graphic novel is one like a comic book. There's lots of Marvel comic stories that are made into films like Batman. And I don't know if Batman is from Marvel or not, but anyway, there's all kinds of different comic books that we've been reading for many, many years up until today. And all of those kind of graphic novels come from the idea of making things more accessible and building a picture for those who read them so that they can see things in a dramatic way. And this is the kind of words that John used in writing these revelations down for us that came from God so that we too would have a very graphic way of understanding, a dramatic way of understanding them, a very powerful way of understanding them. Now, at the time that those people were there and living at the time of John, they were listening. They were not reading along, right? And so that's why we took away for the most part, the words from in front of you today and simply had it read. Now, you can imagine how your hearing and your comprehension would improve if you were to constantly hear the word of God that way. And we're not going to do that because we have the written word of God, thanks to people like Martin Luther and others who have written down the translations for us to see. But it is important for us to pay attention and also to be able to see in the illustrations, in these symbols and all the things that God has given to us in this revelation, the things that are going on in this world at this time. And what the theme of this reading today is really, especially in chapter 12, the centrality of the entire book of Revelation. It is talking about the incarnation of Jesus Christ coming as a baby into the world, ascending into heaven. And then we see and we read about those things in the Gospels and even leading up to the Gospels in the Old Testament, very, very dramatic things. But today we are given a picture, a really truth-driven picture of what is going on in the unknown and the invisible world of the spiritual warfare that is facing us in our lives, and indeed was there, evident in the life of Jesus Christ when he came into the world. And so this is a very dramatic reading that is serving to help us to see, yes, the Savior of the world came into the world, was threatened by the forces of evil, driven by Satan himself. But he had conquered all these things through his death, rose again, right? And he gave victory to all those who believe in him. And that the devil reacted to that with great fury. And he was just driven to this madness and he was thrown out of heaven. And heaven rejoiced, but earth began to suffer under these things. And so as we go along through this scripture, and we're going to do it in a really kind of a fast way today, but I hope that you will see, and having heard the words, that God is victorious and that Satan is defeated and death is defeated and evil is defeated through our Lamb, Jesus Christ. And so let's take a look at this reading today and to put it into perspective for ourselves and so that we can rejoice and that we can have that sense of safety that God told us about in Psalm 139, that he has us in the palm of his hand. And so open your Bibles and you can turn to chapter 12 and we'll begin and go through this in a summary fashion so that we can grasp the word of God coming to us. And I can tell you, Brother Alfred doesn't have to worry about showing any scripture today. We're just going to do this. You can listen and let the Spirit of God work in our hearts and we will go through this together, shall we? It begins with this tremendously vivid and meaningful scene. A great sign appears in heaven. a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, right? She was pregnant and crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Now, I don't know about you, but I can sense right away here that something very unusual is happening. And this woman is of great importance. And what we see here is a symbolic expression of what happened in the Old Testament, right? And the people of Israel are being represented in this woman, right? And it was the line of David that led to the Messiah. And so we also can see that in the 12 stars, which are representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we see Israel coming in this way, and it's moving up through the time of the Old Testament, through the intertestamental times, approaching the birth of Jesus. And then if you are like me, you will see in this pregnant woman and the birth pains and the agony of giving birth, the anticipation of the Christ child. We come into another sign appearing in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. And so the story becomes very intriguing. With 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his head, 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. And so you can see, again, there's this symbolic picture being given to us of what was going on at the time of Jesus Christ and his birth, right? We can see and we remember that there was a threat, and it was in the form of Herod, who was seeking to destroy the coming king. But behind that, God is showing this in the Revelation, there is a devil, an evil one, the dragon, that is personified here in this dragon here. And that is the evil that was approaching the Christ child. But then it says this, she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. And so we see that the child did come into the earth, into the world. And it's one who's going to rule all the nations and with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And so in a very quick way, we see the incarnation of Christ coming into the world and then his ascension into heaven, right? Bringing victory. And what does that result in? It results in the dragon, who is waiting for an opportunity to destroy this child that came into the world, to lose that opportunity. And God has victory. And so we see immediately this dramatic thing that was happening. And as if the drama that is found in the story of Jesus Christ is not enough, God is giving this graphic revelation of a reality, of the truth, that there is evil in the world seeking to destroy his will, but it will not happen because God is greater. And so we see that if we look ahead, war arises in heaven, right? This baby is born, and what is the resulting? There's war in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting the dragon, right? We see this thing, the dragon and his angels fighting back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Michael is known as being an intercessor, but we learn here that the dragon is an accuser, right? A very important theme throughout these things. And so Michael, and fighting against Satan, helps us to be able to understand vividly that there is an intercessor for us in heaven, the angels, Jesus himself. But in this case, Michael and the angels, and they were fighting against the dragon and all of those with him. And he is thrown down, the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And what does this loud voice in heaven say? Salvation and power in the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. And so we see it is the blood of the Lamb. Here we see the Christ that was crucified and spilled out his blood, that is representing the answer and the victory over the devil and casting him out of heaven. Satan had no more part there. You remember in the story of Job that God allowed Satan to go and to accuse even himself, even God himself, but he was accusing Job of being someone who was falling short of the glory of God, and he would never live up to anything. It was only because he had a sweet life given to him by God. And so you can see in the story of Job, and also in the beginning chapters of Zechariah in chapter 3, it is also talking about the devil as the accuser. And so the accuser is coming into our lives and bringing lies into it. The accuser is at work now in our world here. He's thrown down to earth. And for a time, he is going to be allowed to do these things. But God wants us to be aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is the victor. And he is our intercessor. And he is the one who is pleading for us and greater than the devil. And the devil, in his deceitfulness and his lies, are trying to find fault in us. Indeed, he is attempting to prove to God Almighty that we are not worthy of salvation. We, in our sinfulness, all of the things that we do day in and day out that are displeasing to God, Satan tries to bring those before God, and God says, I don't want to hear it, because my son has died for them, and his blood has covered their sins and forgiven them. No power. You have no power over them anymore. Be gone, Satan. And those are words that we need to practice when we go through our lives. We must understand and identify that the accuser is constantly trying to break us down and is trying to bring this false message that we are no good, that we don't deserve God's love. There's nothing about us that needs this. Are you someone like that today? Come to Jesus Christ. Give him your life. Tell him you want to follow him. You're sorry for your sins and you want to claim the blood of Christ. Be gone, Satan. Be gone, accuser. Stop accusing me. I belong to a family of intercessors, people who are there for me and plead for my life before the Almighty God. And so all of these words here, rejoice, O heaven, the devil has come down, and the woe is going towards the earth, because he knows that the devil knows that his time is short. And so he's going to seek to bring destruction as long as he can. And so it says that when he saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman. And here the woman is on earth, and it represents God's people, the community of faith, the community of faith that was in the Old Testament, the community of faith that is found in the Church of Jesus Christ now. And they are, he is going after this woman that is portrayed in the church this way. But the woman was given the wings of the great eagle so she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness. And so this gives us a theme that we are saved by God, that when we belong to Christ, that we are going to be protected. And so the wilderness becomes a refuge for us that is provided from God. We still are going to be under his attack. We still may even lose our lives, but the wilderness also represents the life that is found in Jesus Christ. And so it says that the serpent is even going to pour water like a river out of his mouth towards the woman and to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth, and this is language from the ancient days, from the ancient writings, and drawing from the ancient writings of Egypt and of the time there, and even of Rome, these images like this to reinforce to the people that have heard these stories that the earth that was created by God is going to swallow up the river that poses a threat to his people. And then it says the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring. And so he goes and he stretches off into the other communities of faith. Perhaps we can see it as though he is pursuing the Israelites. He's pursuing the people of God, the Jews. And then he gets furious because God has protected them. And he goes to seek who he can destroy. And so he goes off into the other communities of believers to try to bring them down. Those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the first, this great chapter of chapter 12 comes to an end by him saying, he stood on the sand of the sea. And the next thing that happens is the coming of the first beast. I saw a beast coming out of the sea with 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 diadems and horns, blasphemous names on its heads. And so you see Satan is now drawing on his army. He's bringing up his people. There's a very vivid example of this being portrayed in The Lord of the Rings. You'll remember some of the characters there, these evil characters stood there and they put out the word, and these armies of these ghoulish people were coming forward to try to destroy the good, the people that represented God. And this is what he does. He goes to his own and he draws upon them and he brings them out. And it says this blasphemous creature, a beast, is going to come. Of course, this is going to be someone that is going to be a human being. It could be a person, a king. It could be a person who is of authority in some way, but it's being given the authority by God first, but then God allows Satan to bring this beast up. And so one of its heads seems to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And so they worshiped this dragon. And the mortal wound is the one that you'll remember in Genesis was a curse put upon the serpent, right? This mortal wound that Christ's heel on the cross was going to be bruised by Satan. God was going to allow for his son to die for the sins of the world. And so his death represented that bruised heel. But praise be to God, it also said that the serpent's head would be crushed. And this mortal wound is shown here in this beast. It is coming. But it says that the wound was healed, meaning that it's going to have time still allowed by God to rule this time of the tribulation that is facing the people there. And so it's a very intricate thing, but this is all drawing upon the imagery from the Old Testament and the things that God has taught to us. And so we do well to take a look at this, right? It says they worshiped the dragon, the people that were not belonging to Jesus Christ, worshiped this dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. Think about that for a moment, right? We are living in a world where people are worshiping the dragon who is Satan. And they are worshiping him and those who come out from him. And that is what is going on in our world around us. That is what God is teaching to us. And the people say very, very blasphemingly and with great disgust even against and a lack of honor towards Almighty God, they say, who is like the beast? Who can fight against? That is the attitude that is present in people who do not know God and do not receive God. They have an attitude of rejection of God, and they even want to compare themselves to him. The beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. The beast was blaspheming against God. And so this terrible, terrible beast comes into the world from the command of Satan. And he goes on to say that he was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Authority was given over every tribe, people and nation and language, all who dwell on earth and worship it. Everyone whose name not written in the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb who was slain. And so all these people whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb belonging to Jesus Christ are going to be worshiping the dragon, Satan, and also blaspheming against God through the beast that came up through Satan himself. The last part of this one section is for us to listen to. Here is a call, it says, for the endurance and faith of the saints. So in all of these terrible things that are going on, we are going to receive this call here, and then further on in the next chapter, we're going to see another call to endure, to persevere and have faith in Jesus Christ, despite all of the things that are facing us. We now come into the next dramatic part. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth, as though the first beast and the dragon were not bad enough. There was another one rising out of the earth, and it has two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon, and it exercises all the authority of the first beast, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, making fire come down. All these things are being described there of this power that show us this evil that is evident through this Satan and his empowering the first beast and then the second beast. And many people believe that this is one much like Hitler or Stalin or Mao Zedong, people who came in and caused great desolation to all peoples, right? It goes on and says that it was given breath so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. The killing of people that did not bow down to this beast, to this first beast, to the evil one, the dragon, which is Satan. And so it causes both small and great, both rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked. And this is one section that you probably have heard at some point, perhaps you haven't, but it's a mark of the number 666. And that is the mark that is going to be for the people that belong to Satan. Those are the ones that are going to be left out of the promises of God for those who know Jesus Christ. And they're going to endure eternal pain. And that is the mark that is going to be on them. The meaning of the mark, there's different ideas about what that 666 means. There are two that I want to speak to you about today, just briefly. First, there is a codification. It's a manner of code from the time, in those ancient times, that was used. And the combination of the numbers with the language of that time resulted to equal the beast. And so the code behind these numbers would spell out the beast. And that would be who you belong to if you worship him. Not the lamb, not the one whose name was written in the book of life, but you would belong to Satan, to the one who sent the beast. There's also another idea here that it has been offered, which is the shortcoming of mankind, that he would not reach the fullness of God, which is represented in the number 7. And 666 fell short of that complete and whole number that is found in God. Whatever we believe behind this number, God says that we are to call, it calls for wisdom, that we are to consider this thing that has been given, this mark upon those who are going to face eternal damnation, right? And consider our lives. Who do we belong to? Do we belong to God and our names are safe in the book of life? Or do we belong to the beast, the one who blasphemes against the creator of the earth and brings destruction upon God's people? Words that we need to consider. We come to chapter 14, and here is the high point of the entire sermon, or the entire message that is coming today. It is the greatest scene. It is the triumphant scene, and it reads like this. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like a roar of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder, and harpists playing their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn that song except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed. And these are people that were pure through the blood of the Lamb. They were also people who followed the Lamb wherever he goes. And they've been redeemed. They've been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. In their mouth, no lie was found, for they are blameless. Do you hear the difference between those who belong to Jesus Christ? There's no blaspheming in their mouth. There's no standing up against God and challenging the creator of the universe. There is no bowing down to idols. There is no cursing coming from their mouths. There is no sexual immorality coming in their lives. They are pure before God. And what do? They sing. They sing praise to God. Instead of blasphemy, they bring praise before God. And they join with the harps that are playing in heaven. They play pleasing music, heavenly music. And that is the representation for all those here on earth today that worship the King. Because we do not see a dragon coming out of the sea. We do not see a beast coming out of the sea or from the land. We see a lamb. We see a lamb. A lamb that laid down his life for mankind. True power. True power found in servanthood. True power found in holiness. True power found in love for others. True love that is found for you and me. And that is the result of the rejoicing. That is the King. He is the one that they want to worship and bow down in front of, not idols, not beasts, not people who are going to destroy the world, but the one who conquered sin and death and gave life to all through his resurrection. The last part is three messages of three angels, powerful words here, and it's pure gospel. It says in verse 6 of chapter 14, I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And this is what he said, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. Amen. That is the word of the gospel. That is the word of the gospel. That is the word of all these that belong to Jesus Christ. And that is the word, brothers and sisters, that we possess that needs to be brought to the world. It is in these words, this whole story of the dragons and the fight and all these things that we can explain to people and have confidence that we are explaining something that it truly exists, because it is written in God's word, and trust it, that we tell other people that if they don't fall down before God and worship him, then they will lose their lives eternally. And they are suffering unnecessarily, because the gift of God is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It came through the cross. No payment necessary. Jesus paid the price. He gave us life. The second angel says, fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great, who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. This is the disdainment for the community, the unbelievers. Babylon, this terrible city, this place that represents the sexual immorality that is all around us in this world. And what does the angel say? Fallen, fallen. There will be no more. It will be gone. Do we want to belong to the sexual immorality and just have it for the time that we're alive? Or do we want the lasting truth that is found in the beauty of Jesus Christ and the love that he gives to us? Not perversion of our bodies, not perversion of looking at things that we don't want to be, that God does not want us to look on the internet. Not wanting to be having sex before marriage, not wanting any part of anything that is going to be falling outside of what God has designed for us. That is the beauty of Christ, that there is greatness found in purity. There is greatness found in waiting, being patient, being adhering to the word of God and obeying his voice. The last angel, a third, says in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, its image, and receives a mark in his forehead or hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of angels and the presence of the Lamb. And all of this imagery here helps us to be able to see what is coming after this, the judgment, the final judgment that God speaks of in his word. Here again is the second call to all of us. In the view of all these things, in the view of Jesus Christ coming as the Lamb to die for us, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God in their faith in Jesus Christ. Endure, persevere, stand up against the world, stand up against the sexual immorality, stand up against all of the evil in this world, and stand for Christ. That is the call for us today. And this voice from heaven says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessing in death? Yes. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Then you are in the Lord. And you are blessed even in death, because your life will continue forever. And it won't just be a life that is unknown. It will be one that is known by God. And you are known by God now, and he desires you as his child. That is what the Bible teaches us, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Let us live now with deeds that are serving God's kingdom. Let us put to rest all of these other things that are serving the beast. We have no part of them anymore, because they don't belong to Christ. They have no part in our lives. Finally, the harvest of the earth, the harvest of the earth. And you probably have heard this as well. We hear about the grim reaper. Well, let's put a name to that grim reaper. It's not grim. It is Jesus Christ. It is God Almighty. It is the one from heaven who is going to come and is going to judge the world. And there's going to be a time of judgment. And this is part of the gospel that we rarely go to. Why? Because we don't want to offend people. Well, brothers and sisters, we want to be able to help people. And this is part of the gospel. This is part of the gospel that that God has taken us away from the promise that is for judgment, eternal damnation for those who don't believe in Christ. We need to remember that as well. And it says that there were angels coming and the sound went out, put in a sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come and the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. And the last part of this whole section, the final part of chapter 14, says that the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is something that should really strike fear into us. The wrath of God and the fact that there is going, first of all, for us as believers, so that we don't return to sin, so that we don't return to lives that were outside of Christ, but also so that it would strike the fear in God of us to promote the gospel and to witness to other people, to let them know that the wrath of God is a very real thing and is going to happen, and that they don't want that to happen in their lives. We don't want that to happen in their lives. I want to take a moment and ask you to think about something. And in any kind of a situation, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you see that someone is going near to a dangerous situation, would you not tell them? If a person was walking into the street and there is a car coming and they don't have their heads looking in either direction and they are in danger of being hit by this car, would you not tell them? If a child is doing something that is dangerous in their lives, if they've started to hang around with the wrong crowd, if they start to do things, or if they're being irresponsible in some kind of a way in their lives, would you not tell them about the danger that they're going to face in that kind of a situation? If we can think in those kind of terms in that light, then why can we not look at the situation in the light of God's gospel? To say that there is this kind of a threat to us, and there is a very real dragon, and there is a very real beast, and these beasts are around us in this world. Their time is numbered, right? Their days are numbered, but still they exist. Do we want people, friends of ours, people in every nation to feel that they are going to be lost? Are we really so selfish? God calls us to be witnesses, to be his testimony to the world, and to let them know of the better way, the only way that is found in Christ. And so I want to end there, and I want you to reflect on the things that we've heard today, right? That God brought his son Jesus into the world. He brought his son into the world, and there was a great threat going on, a seemingly threat of the devil, who was furious and not wanting anyone to be saved by Jesus Christ. He didn't want Christ to be anywhere near the people of this world. But God steps in and overcomes the dragon and banishes him from heaven and sends him to earth, and only for a time, because we see that there's going to be destruction. Yes, there is going to be a time where there's going to be tribulation for Christians. Yes, there is going to be a time where it seems like the powers of evil are overwhelmingly victorious, but it is not true, because we have just read that the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater. He gave life to the dead. He gives life to the dead. He brings us out of our death in sin and releases us into eternity. And we are going to be with him forever. And that is the true king. He is the true one. And that is the message for today in Revelation.